asked me to make an announcement for her and here. A lady in the church needs a couple things. One of them, if you have a couch that you don't need anymore, she could use a couch or an electric stove. If you know anybody that has an electric stove that she could have. Anyway, this.
Dave,
if anybody.
You're out of first minute. I think she put it. I put it back on the board. Stuff for baskets for Christmas. Stuff in the name. I guess given, but.
Like yeah, that. For shut-ins.
Right.
What about an electric stove?
Huh?
What about an electric stove?
Oh, there's a lady in the church has a need for one. And
a cook stove?
Yeah, a cook stove. If anybody. Anybody's able to help. See Miss Carrie. Anybody's able to do anything with either of those things, cook stove or a sofa. I'm going to try to finish up on this. I feel like God wants me to go in a different direction. But I've been looking at different emotions, you know, that either help or hinder us in the battles which we fight every day. And what I'm going to look at today, I can't really call it an emotion, because I don't think it is an emotion, but it's full of emotions, and it causes a lot of feelings. And this thing which I think is probably one of the most powerful, probably the most powerful thing in the universe. It's something that I think it takes a beating a lot. It's a subject that takes very few people, including myself, can really lay hold on this thing and all that it is. And it's this matter of love. What? Of love. A lot of people, they look at romance. They look at all kinds of things, you know, and I like to say this too. I mean, you know, I hate to say, you know, I fell in love. I mean, it's like I fell in the mud, or I fell off into the water, or you know, if you fell in, you know, you can crawl out. But love ain't like that. Taught on this subject years ago at a church over in Mount Pleasant. And one of the things I know about love is that love seeks what's best for people, for everybody. And I told some of them folks over there, these younger people, I said, sometimes that ain't you. You say you love someone, you know, but truly, you know, you're just infatuated. If you really had love, you would bow out and walk away. But there is a real love. Today, man, we love everything. Man, I love baseball. I love football. I love. You know, what is that? What love is reduced to? Something that we're infatuated or caught up with. I want to look at I think that a lot of these things is something that love can produce, and one of them is desire. But desire is not love. Love can produce desire, but it's truly, it's not love. You look in the Old Testament and you see that word used, and it was used somewhat loosely. You can find that, for example, Jacob, when he wanted Rachel, and that's what it was, he wanted her. He desired her. He liked the way she looked. She was pretty. He was totally enamored and infectious with her. But to say he really had love for her, I don't think. I think it may be as far as what humans people consider to be love, this thing of infatuation, romance, or erotic love, they call it, you know, in the Greek, eros or something of that nature. Yes, it's probably that. But was it what love really is? And we want to try to do. I'm going to do my best, and I'm not going to take long at it, because I'll be honest with you, it's far past me to really lay a hold. Been a few times, you know, me and my wife have been into an argument. I said, "Honey, you know I love you," and she looked at me and said, "I don't think you know what love is." At the time, she was probably right. But sometimes I wonder if very few of us really have got a handle on what love is. And or not really. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and say it. In ourselves, we're not capable of it. Until a person accepts God, they don't have a clue what love is, because love is a fruit of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And without the Spirit of God, you're not gonna really love. You'll have all kinds of infatuation, desire, romantic, all kinds of things, you know. And you even lay down your life for these things, but that doesn't make it love. And I can show you that in the scriptures here in a little bit. Just because you're willing to sacrifice the greatest sacrifice at all doesn't mean it's real love. Take your Bibles, and we're going to start off in what many people would call the book of love, which is 1 John. And we're going to start there. 1 John, we begin reading in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to begin reading verses 1, and the reason is because the opening statements help us to see a little bit what love is. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where have you heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And now he's getting ready to lay a truth on them. Okay? He's showing you how you can know the difference between error and truth. If you're of God, you're of the truth. If you're of the world, you're in error. See, the world's got a definition of love, you know, but it's not real love. It's not true love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Look at that word, loveth. That's a verb, by the way. Love is a verb. It has action. It's more than just something that you feel. Love many times takes a decision. I think I've told this in this class before, but there was this girl, she had just received notice from her family that she had been betrothed to a man. Or she was going to marry him. She's never met the man. And an American friends began to say, how could your family do this to you? You don't even know this person. You don't even know if you love this person. And she said, oh, I will love him. Love is a decision and an action. It's something, hey, we decide to do. And with it are many feelings, affections. Hey, you reap what you sow.
Amen.
You sow love, you should reap love. But let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Preacher just said this morning, it's not enough to be on a church roll. You got to be born of God. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. And we know that God so loved the world that he gave. It's an action. It was a verb. It's something that he did. He gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He did this not only for those who loved him, he did it for those who hated him. Amen. Love your enemies. Beloved, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. That word manifested just means revealed. It was shown. It was in the letter that showed that what all that God had given unto us. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He didn't say we did. He said you ought to. It's just like over there in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. They ought not to perish. But many will. Why? Because they receive not the gift of God. We're going into a holiday where much is talked about giving, but very few give without seeking to receive. But what God gave, hey, we were the only recipient. What did God get for what he gave? Everything. He did it all. He produced life in us. He produced the people that would love him. He did it all. So what do we have to give to God? Our will.
Amen.
You just got to yield it up. There's nothing in us that wants to follow God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We must let him, hey, we let him work. Yield. That's the only thing we can do. All we can do is yield up ourselves to him and let him work. And then one day, he'll get all the praise and honor and glory. And as the song says, what crowns we've gotten, we'll have to cast at his feet, because we didn't do any of it. He did it all. But even then, God will praise us. I don't, Hey, only thing I can think of that God could praise us for is that we were smart enough to yield ourselves to God, to believe Him, to accept His gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see our need and believe God. We can offer Him our will. Yield, therefore. Now notice this. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That's the only way we're able to love one another. It's because God dwells in us. You say, I love my wife? Well, you can thank God for that. Because without God indwelling you, you would not love you. You it would be like this. And I said it right. I used to say, I love my wife and my children. And God said, you got it all backwards, boy. She's not your wife and they're not your children. You're her husband and you're their father. And I loaned them to you. Now be what you're supposed to be. But that's the way we look at it. If we're not careful. In our flesh, that's the way we look at it. They're ours, they're possessions, they're things that we produce because it pleases us. We do it for our pleasure. But that ain't what love does. And if we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love, look here, dwelleth in God. We toss that word around like it's nothing. I've even heard preachers will get out. They think that, you know, like, oh, man, they get up there and rant and preaching on hell and sin. And, boy, they call that hard preaching. You want me to show you hard preaching? Live love. Live love. Live love. That's hard. That's how hard is it? That's Jesus on the cross. That's love. Notice verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Notice that word, perfect love. Love has to be perfected in us. It's got to be finished. We dabble in it. We play around in the brink. You know what I'm saying? We walk in the shallows of the sea of love. Let's be honest. You know? We get our feet wet. Most times, that's all we get. We love him because he first loved us. If man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Jesus says, if you do it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. This commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God love his brother also. Back up to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. This is God's love toward us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And that's true. We got a new man. And it cannot sin. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we got an old man too. And we got to deal with that sucker. We got to deal with him. We got to battle. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby receive ye the love of God, because as he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion. There's that feeling that comes with love. You're touched with the infirmities of this world. How dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God and love one another as he gave us commandments. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You notice that? The only way we can live apart from disobedience to God, it's got to be the love of God constraining us each and every day, keeping us in the direction we ought to go. That love is a powerful thing, and it's not something that we can do on our own. I could put a couple things here. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Then I look at, and that's what I think we saw in these chapters here, that love is produced by God. It's not something that comes out of us. It's what God does in our heart. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 1, you hath he quickened who was dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as of. That's where our love was found before Christ. Before Christ. It was in the lust of our flesh. It was our desires. Trying to fulfill that what was going to please us, to make us feel good. But God, who is rich in mercy, by his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, and it comes through faith. And that's not our faith. It's his faith. The faith of the Son of God. We were saved by grace through his faith. That not of yourselves, you see. It is the gift of God. And we know who that gift is, do we not? That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's that gift. And it's through his faith, knowing that what he did when he came into this world, by his death, his burial, and his resurrection, it is finished. He's redeemed the world. And that in and of ourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why? Because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We see here, this is what God's great love produces. You know, we are made to be the sons of God. We through the faith of the Son of God, now he said that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. His great love, wherewith he hath loved us. A great love that did a great work. Take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Look at what this great love does. Verses 1, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the brethren, if any bowels and mercies. You see that? There's a yearning. For, hey, some have compassion making a difference. Where does that compassion come from? It comes from God, who had compassion upon the world when he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, that he might die for us. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Amen? As God desires to reconcile the world, there ought to be a desire in us to reconcile the world. As God desires to come and comfort this world, there ought to be a desire in us to come and bring comfort to the lost and dying in this world. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now that's what God's love will produce. There ain't nothing in us that prefers other people over us. But that's the love of Christ. That each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He's not talking about wanting their things there. He's talking about meeting needs. See into their pain, their problems. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in the fashion of man. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name as above every name, that the name of Jesus, notice this, every knee should bow. We've got a lot of people who won't bow today. Well, I tell you what, you'll bow now or you'll bow later. The day's coming, every knee shall bow. They should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Wherefore, my beloved. See how we're beloved? As you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. This is God's work. This is God's love. He's making all the difference. Take your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12, verses 31. Right here, after he goes over, gifts of the Spirit, then he says these things. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The more excellent way. This word here, we're getting ready to look at in chapter 13, this word charity. About the only way I know to describe this word is unconditional love. It's a love of God. It's true love. It's not the love of this world. It's not the little light love. Not the puppy love. Not the all the kind of stuff. You know, I love bologna, and I love, you know, catfish, and I love fishing, and I love hunting, and I love... No, it's not that kind of love. This is the kind of love that's produced by God's Holy Spirit. And nothing else can perform His love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just a bunch of noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me not. See what I'm saying? It's sacrifice of yourself. A lot of people will sacrifice themselves. A lot of people will do a lot of things. But the thing that is missing in our churches today, and the thing that's causing not to have revival, is not having that true love. It comes from God only. And we can't produce that, no matter how hard we try. It's got to come through the fullness of the Spirit of God, having control in our lives. He goes on and he says, charity suffereth. This is what charity does. It suffereth long. It's long-suffering. It's kind. That's some of the feelings I'm talking about. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Charity hates pride. It casts it down. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. What did we just read over there? It seeks others better than ourselves. It esteems others better than ourselves. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in the truth. You can't... Hey, there's some things you're just going to have to hate if you're going to have this love of God. You're going to hate lying. You're going to hate lying and iniquity and sin and pride. God hates these things, and to have the kind of love... Notice this too, back up. 5 says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not, look at that, her own. He gave it a conscience. He made it personal. He's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things. Well, I'm afraid we live in a time where most people, when they get a thing, they bear it over to somebody else and then tell it. So they can bear it to somebody else and tell it. Or what they call it, what's the Bible call them? Tale bearers. But you know what it talks about there when it says beareth all things? It means you're the kind of person that gets a burden on your shoulders and you keep it to yourself and to God only. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, look at this one, never faileth. It never fails. But whether or where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, I believe this is talking about the Word of God. I do. I believe it's talking about the Word of God here. When it is come. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You have all faith to move mountains. You can have all the hope in the world. And what a blessed hope we have. But the greatest ease is the love of God, which passeth understanding. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Why? Because the Word of God is able to reach others. And if we love people, we're going to tell them what God has sent us into the world to deliver the mysteries, the gospel of Paul, and most of all, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for the sins of the world, that we might have life in him. Take your Bibles now. The best gift God has given is charity, the love of God. Charity is the perfection of love. It's when love is made perfect. We got all kinds of love. But when love is made perfect, when it's complete, then it's the love of God. Men will never know God without this love, which only Christ can manifest in our lives. Turn back to Ephesians. Chapter 3. Beginning in verses 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I said it a moment ago, we just got our feet in the water a little bit. We're talking, God says that we can know and love as past our understanding. Does that mean we get it all at one time? No, but we need to dive out into the deep. Carried away by an ocean of God's love that will not fail. It will accomplish what it desires to do in our lives. It will make us the kind of people that God meant for us all to be. But only this love can do this. And that love is God Himself. Christ in you. Know what it says? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You being grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that worketh in us. And to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. Amen. Turn over a couple more pages of Colossians chapter 3. And I'm done. Again in verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. You want to know what will make you complete? That's it. Love takes a bad rap today. It does. It does even in our churches. People got this idea that love is, you know, undisciplined at times. Well, if it is, it's not love. People talk love, but Lord have mercy. And a lot of people talk a lot of things. You got those sweet preachers out there. They're not teaching love. Say, how do I know? Because did we not read? How we know truth from error is by the love of God. Just because a person acts sweet. The devil was acting no so sweet in the Garden of Eden when he beguiled Eve. Don't be deceived. Hey, love is the most powerful, and it's something that we are to covet. The Bible says we are to desire to walk in the love of God more than we desire anything else in our lives. I love this book. I do. You know why? Because it's a book of God's love to a world that needs Him.
Amen.
We say, well, it sounded like he was mad a lot of times. Yeah, he was. Like I said a minute ago. Hey man, you ain't gonna love flowers if you don't hate weeds. You can't love truth without hating lying. And you can't love people without hating what hurts them. You can't love life and get along with abortion. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day.